Got it.
Board time for October 21st.
Is that here? Almost. What about my doing? August 21, board time.
Do it. Board time, August 21st.
All right, we'll go ahead and begin board time. One quick note, I have an appointment. I have a meeting that I have to leave here by 3 p.m. So if we have other business to conduct, you know, I leave it to my vice chair to lead on. Also on the agenda, wanted to move one thing to the front. We received a letter yesterday from the Humane Society for Southwest Washington, from their board chair, and from Stacy, from their president and executive director. They'd asked to come in and just have a kind of a conversation with us about that, and you know, wanted to make sure that you know we didn't get a letter in a vacuum and not have an understanding of their conversations or their willingness and wanting to keep working on this and working with us. So
did we all get a copy of that letter?
Should have. Yeah, it's in your packet. Yeah,
some time ago.
Did we get a copy?
Oh, the one
got a new one.
Yeah, I didn't get a new one.
CC.
I probably got it.
Should
I just
be CC.
Found it.
She has copied all
my inbox.
All commissioners.
She just copied all of you. I don't know.
I thought Jennifer passed it out. I know it was stamping.
I'm probably still in my
Come on, in. We're in open session.
It was last night at like
4:15. Okay. All right. Well, shoot. The
last year till 7:00, I didn't see it.
Okay. The letter just reads, the Humane Society for Southwest Washington Board of Directors has deliberated on your response requesting a one-year contract for providing Clark County with stray sheltering services in 2014, and we must respectfully decline. While we understand if you feel the need to continue researching responsible alternatives, however, we are bound by, by our fiduciary responsibility to manage our organization efficiently and effectively to meet both the obligations of our mission and the expectations of our donors. We believe that we have offered a fair and very competitive fee structure that is much less costly to the taxpayers than a county-built and operated shelter. We believe that our partnership with the county has successfully served the animals and the community for many years. We have met and discussed all of these issues with you and previous county commissioners since 2010. During the same period, we've negotiated these same services with most of the other municipalities in the county and have come to mutually agreeable terms with each and maintained our strong public-private partnerships. Our current offer still stands. We are seeking a two-year contract with fees per stay at $170 in 2014, increasing to $200 per stay in 2015, to be agreed to by both parties no later than September 1, 2013. On a separate note, as we have discussed previously, we're committed to the investigation and development of ongoing initiatives to reduce the number of incoming cats, including the goal of reducing the overall cost of sheltering services for all our local government partners. We believe that by growing our low-cost spay-neuter program and offering trap-neuter return services for feral cats, we can significantly impact the overwhelming number of stray cats in our community. Further, we're looking into a program that may be able to offer a separate pricing structure for feral community cats. As staff completes our analysis and brings forward recommendations to the board, to their board, we'll keep you apprised of our plans. We appreciate your serious consideration of our proposal and your understanding of our need to ensure that the fees we charge are in alignment with the services we provide. And it's signed by their board chair and by Stacy, Stacy Graham, their president and executive director. So this is the letter we received yesterday. With the timing associated with what they had on here, I've had a couple of brief conversations about, is there an opportunity for a little more time to be able to have a better conversation on this, and also to, they're doing the investigation of kind of the program that you were talking about that could lower the overall cost of what the county citizens pay for sheltering, and I also had a question about like how long might that take, and is there a way that we might be able to feed that into this conversation so that even if, you know, the rates, for me it's less about the rates than it is the overall amount that we're paying. And the overall amount we pay is based on how many animals get taken in. And if there are plans that we can, you know, that they're working on that can lower that, that helps all of us. So I had a question about that. Jason, I don't know if you can help us understand, like, what are you looking into? How long it might it take? And can that be part of the discussions of us in the contract frame?
Thanks. Because our board meeting was yesterday and we were far enough along with that analysis, we weren't able to put it in, and we knew that this was timely because we had sent the previous letter with the September 1 date. So we, our intent has always been to introduce this program in 2014 and finding funding to do it. But essentially, it would take a look at community and stray cats, and it would create a different way that they might come into the shelter. The idea that we have might require a change in code, because right now when someone brings a cat or a dog in, there's a 3-day or a 5-day stay. It could be that we could take the cats that are not owned, that don't have that we can't find owners for, that we consider to be community cats and feral as well as feral cats, and put a different pricing structure in place by not taking them for 3 days, but by taking them, spaying them, neutering them, and cooking areas, giving them rabies shots, and then putting back out into the community. That's what a TNR is trapping them, neutering, and making sure that they're healthy, and then returning them to the community. It's happening in other cities. Some of their humane societies. It's a fairly new kind of program across the United States, but it is definitely the direction that animal sheltering is going. There are citizens and organizations that don't like it because they don't like cats, community, or feral out in the community because they kill birds and they kill squirrels and they do things like that. But overall, we're talking to some of those that have the more successful programs so that we can develop this one around that kind of a program. That would then reduce the cost to all of our municipal partners, because we wouldn't have to charge as much for that because we don't have to keep them for 3 days and so forth. We estimate that about 25% of the cats that we that come into the shelter fall into that category.
Wow.
Now, not all of them will be healthy. Some of them would come in and they would be sick, or they would have two aggressive behavioral problems. But we anticipate that we would see over the next 3 years a reasonably significant reduction in the overall cost to you and to the city and to others. And I'm very hesitant to even put any numbers on the table right now because we're still trying to figure out what those numbers are and how it's working with the other organizations and what percentage of their stray and community cats fall into that category. And once we have finished, seeing their numbers, we can be more specific. But
when might that be?
We realize that this is important to you, and so we would expedite it try to get it toward the end of September, so probably the third week of September.
But there's a September 1 date on this where you're looking for a response. Is there any latitude, any flexibility we might have to be able to get that information before we made any final determination?
I believe so. I believe if you said to us, we would like to have that information so we could incorporate that into a 2-year contract, then that would be very specific for us, and we would say, yes, we'll do that, and we'll come back to you and let you take a look at what we think those cost savings will be, or at least the range, and move the date to the end of September. The reason that we've put a date on it is because we have plans and things that we're trying to do. I mean, we've gone through a strategic planning process. We are looking at a lot of some organizational changes in the way we do things, but we need to know what our relationship is going to be in order to move forward with that. The process we've been through with you since I started in February has been, the best thing for me is that I've learned a lot of being in a new job, but it's also taken a huge amount of time, of my time, of the board's time, and our board meetings we spend about half of our time at every board meeting now talking about this, and it's only 8% of our revenue, but it has a significant impact internally on our on the shelter and on our staff because of the number of animals that are strays, and strays are much more challenging to care for than owner-surrendered animals because of the health and behavioral characteristics that a lot of strays have. So we're trying to do this not paper has said to be an ultimatum, but so that we can get on track with our business plan. And so so we probably pushed a little harder than everybody wanted. But I think if we could get this determined, we could get this information to you and we could get a determination by the end of September. That's about the last date for us in terms of being able to get on with what we need to be doing.
So that's good. Paul, go ahead.
So does this analysis change the $170 or the $200 value, or is it just change the number of units?
It would. The only reason I'm hesitant to say that is because we're not quite sure yet how how we can structure it. It could be that in fact it comes in and we have a tiered pricing that says if we spay and neuter animals. That and then we put them out that cost this and they don't stay for the 3 days. It could be that it's the overall cost. We're just not quite sure how we want to come back with it because we just don't have quite enough information. I do know that what it will do overall, though, is bring the total cost down. So it could be that it's an overall pricing for per animal, or it could be that it is a separate pricing for the two different animals.
So, and this, especially since the board hasn't had a chance to read this themselves and haven't had a chance to see it, we're certainly not
right.
In a position where we can give you a thumbs up or down at this, in this meeting. But are there other questions that as long as we have them here, any other questions that we have?
I do. I understand your need to know where you are from year to year. Would it help at all to go with an annual contract with the September 1st notification every year? And because we're trying to decide now how we're going to deal with our cat family and the feral cats and that kind of thing and the spay and neuter program. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if that would work.
To be completely honest with you, a lot of humane societies and shelters like Oregon Humane, like the one that you referred to us to earlier in Spokane, have stopped taking strays altogether because it's much easier for us to manage our population and to manage the staff if you're not just taking in everything that comes in every day. But you, in both of those places, they take owner surrendered animals by appointment only, so they can control their population. We cannot do that because we take every single animal, every single stray animal that comes in, and I will tell you that in the last 2 weeks, we have gotten hundreds of cats and kittens, and so we only have a certain capacity, and there is way before we hit that capacity, if we have too many cats, our upper respiratory infections start increasing dramatically, and when that happens, a lot of animals die. So we get on the phone, which we have been doing for the last couple of weeks. We do promotions to get people to adopt cats.
You have like a name a price thing going on right now.
Right.
I just saw that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yesterday we have
seriously
perfect,
name a price
we
for
have
a cat.
Perfect Tuesdays now. It's in perfect Tuesdays where you can your adoption fees are 50% for cats and kittens. But we also have to get on the phone and find other shelters within a reasonable radius. Who can take kittens or cats from us, because last week on one day, on Thursday, we had 283 cats in the shelter. Our maximum is 300. We should never be at 283 because that's when these things happen. So one of the conversations that's happening with our board, and we're going to be doing some conversations with the public in the fall, is should we continue to be an open admission shelter and take everything, or should we consider becoming a strategic admission shelter, which is what the shelter in Spokane and the one in Portland is? We actually, many of us that are involved, both volunteer and staff, that concerns us because it's easy to do that in Spokane and Portland because they have county shelters who take the strays. And we don't have that here, but for a long time, we felt like we had an excellent public-private partnership with you and with the city of Battleground and others, where you picked them up, we took them in. Your mission was to get them off the street. Ours was to get them adopted. And so that's what we've been doing. But it becomes more problematic when we spend a lot of our time negotiating contracts and when we should be spending that time doing other things. That's why we've asked for 2 years, because we've spent a lot of time between February and now working on this and coming to meetings and trying to figure out, you know, what are we going to do next year. So the reason that we've asked for 2 years is for that, so that it gives us more time to be focused on introducing new programs and managing our business. So I know that was a little bit long-winded, but I wanted you to see the context of this process for us. It's really been about how do we make the Humane Society financially sound and meeting the needs of the community.
I have a question. How many of those cats are from the county? How many, Paul, have we delivered? Yeah, cats and kittens. You just mentioned that so many. There's a lot of those came from the county.
We always kind of say half.
Is this kitten season or something?
Mm-hmm. We're coming to the end of this kitten season.
So how many kittens are normally in a litter?
Sorry.
How many kittens are normally in a litter?
Anywhere from 1 to 10. Probably an average of 4 to 5 a litter.
So you're talking about $1,000 a pop. For litter of kittens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you see any of them there where they have their ear has been clipped? They've been, because there's any indication that they're feral cats that have already been released or they've been already neutered and released?
Yes.
And I assume you don't pick them up?
Correct. Unless someone has trapped it on their property and they want to get rid of it.
Then what do you do?
So we could be picking up the same cat more than once.
Yes.
And do you bring them to the Humane Society, and then what do they do?
It really depends. I mean, we don't often get ear-tipped cats. It's very rare, in fact, for us to get an ear-tipped cat.
If you're to release a cat that, the TNR, where do you release it to?
The same place where it was picked up, the same general neighborhood.
So I would think that if they called and said, "We've got this animal here," I wouldn't think they would want it back. Do they not relocate?
Part of a TNR program is community education and helping people learn how to live with cats in the community. To talk about things like deterrence. If the cat's coming onto your lawn, maybe you can get a motion-activated sprinkler system. So that if the cat comes on your lawn,
that's entertainment too. Come on. Jeez.
So part of this, you know, is when the only option, frankly, for a cat, feral cat, coming into the shelter system is to be euthanized. Maybe there's other options out there. The cat can live and is healthy and otherwise rabies vaccinated and altered, so it's not reproducing. Then let's help people learn to live with that kind of situation.
Well, in our area, I mean, the feral cats keep down the any rodent population and stuff, which is, for a guy who's scared of mice, is a great thing. So.
Exactly.
And there are programs.
We've got a place to dump them now. Here, please.
Introducing, too, is a program that helps to people, like if you have a warehouse and you're down in Port or
right.
Somewhere else. How do you care for that? You know, you want those feral cats because they mouse for you. And so we teach them how to have a feral cat colony.
So that's part of that kind of program that you're looking into.
Right, exactly.
So you're going to come back before the end of the month to before the end of September and let us know what you find out.
Mm-hmm. And the kind of program we would want to offer to you and to our other municipal partners too.
Okay.
To make this work for the whole community. The other thing about this is it means we would be spaying and neutering even more. We would probably go to 7 days a week spaying and neutering. And and that will reduce the population more dramatically than we're even doing right now.
Which will further reduce the cost moving forward.
Exactly. In fact, in the preliminary numbers that we're looking at, the reduction increases for you every year and for everyone else. So it's not like the first year we'd get it would be great and then after that it would be okay. It's increasing each year. And as our stray population is increasing every year.
About how many of the total animals that come into the Humane Society are from the county? I mean, or that we deliver.
Is that the half?
That's the half.
So that's about the half mm-hmm. for cats yeah. and dogs?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Any other questions right now? I know, I mean, we need to take time, kind of think it through, read the letter, you know, and also kind of, if we have additional questions, I assume we can get a hold of
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Good.
So Paul brings up a good thing in the past, and that is, if you don't pick up the cats, how can you justify asking for a license? And so my question is a little further. Of the people that get a license for their cats, do they also put a chip on the cat?
That's up to them.
But the license buys you 2 days in the shelter? Two extra days, right.
I guess it'd be a lot easier to come back and say, if we had a licensed cat, we would treat it differently than a feral cat. And a feral cat, we're not about to take back and dump in the same neighborhood, so it'd have to be euthanized.
Well, I think they are talking about treating them differently. They're not necessarily talking about euthanizing them, but they are talking about treating them. Don't keep them for the five. Like, a licensed cat would be kept for 5 days, unlicensed 3 days unless it's feral, and they're looking at, for feral or community, even keeping them less time, which would save money because it's a shorter stay. So they would treat them differently, but as far as how they reintroduce them, that I think that they're going to have to come back to us with an idea.
I was trying to avoid us being charged while they made up their mind what to do with the cat. So if we had a program and a standard and a policy as to how we would deal with them, then that would give us a fixed cost
yeah.
on how to deal with feral cats versus one with a license.
And I think that's the idea, is that they would come back with a proposal by the end of September, before the end of September to us, as to how what that would look like.
That would help us figure out
the
policy.
I think, Paul, if let's suppose a couple of years down the road we've got this program, and so there's a bunch of neutered cats that are out there, would you still pick them up? Because I would assume that they would still, after a while, they get diseased.
Someone calls up to play.
So if there was a feral cat, but it was diseased or something, would there be other reasons you would pick it up?
Sick or injured, yes.
Sick or injured, yes.
So if the ears clipped, you wouldn't normally pick it up?
Today I would, and tomorrow I would.
But if there was a new program,
should we be doing that now?
In this program that we're talking about, you wouldn't pick them up unless they were sick or injured, and then we would handle
that. Well, maybe that's a simple. I don't know. How often do you see one like that? Even though we don't have this program, other organizations do have this program.
One like
program.
What?
So why would we pick up a cat that has his ear clipped?
We don't really have ear clips right now, do we?
Well, other organizations do.
It's limited, and only in a case where an individual is making a complaint. And we don't trap cats, so they would have to trap it on their own private property, which one then maybe could take it. But as they're noting, that's pretty rare that a clipped cat is captured by a private citizen and transported by my crew.
And then returned to the same citizen. It's like, I would think that we would at least not do that. You would just educate the person and let them know that it's going to be a round trip, and they're already, it's already been...
That's a philosophical question.
Well,
yes.
It's an extra $200.
Well, and I don't know what their finances are going to delve into, but I do have concerns as well then, who's doing transport back to wherever it's going, because it's that resources now that you don't have to answer the question.
Well, we don't know, that that's part of what we're trying to figure out.
I have concerns that this program,
all those little pieces.
I'm concerned, I like the program, I understand it, I think, fairly well. I do have concerns in the short term that it might not be more expensive, and that over time that cost would come down as there's fewer and fewer cats that you're dealing with.
Well, it depends on if you balanced out the increased cost associated with doing more spay and neuter and kind of the transport with shorter stays and that aspect of it. I mean, that's the numbers I think we're going to need to... And so I assume, and I guess I'm assuming, but I hope that Paul will be included in this conversation with you guys as you're getting that information, because he's our point on this. So...
Great, thanks.
I don't like paying a mortgage, but I do like knowing what my mortgage payment is going to be every month. And I think that that's sort of the focus that they're, it's challenging to have a business model and a mission if you don't know what next year holds for you. So a multiple year contract, am I saying that in a nice way?
We kind of like know what the economy is too, but
yeah.
Right. But we don't.
Well, that's why we do a biennial budget instead of an annual budget, and then we do supplementals.
So we can we assume we'll that this is October 1st instead of September 1st? So that you have time to do your homework?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Very much appreciate that flexibility in getting that. And as we have questions, we'll put them through Paul or we'll get a hold of you. And if you have questions for us, please do get a hold of us in the interim as you're putting together numbers and ideas for this. Thank you. Thanks for coming in and helping to explain this too. I appreciate it. Very much appreciate it. All right. Move on. Okay, old business. Interim County Administrator Bill, I'm going to turn this over to you to kind of walk us through the process since you're the County Administrator. So why don't you walk us through where we were, where we are, and then we can talk and then talk about where we're headed.
Okay. with the announcement of my retirement on May 1st, I asked the board to, in that regard, to inaugurate either a regional or a national search for the position. You basically took that under advisement, and in June, you passed a freeholder resolution, which kind of knocked that possibility in a cocked hat in the respect that given the possibility that the form of county government could change in Clark County either on November 14 or November 2015, it wouldn't bode well for any applicant, any viable applicant, to apply for the position if the position didn't exist in a year or two. So we went to an interim process and saying, okay, we would need a county administrator. You advised me that you would need a county administrator to fill the position for the interim. That is, the time it would take the freeholders to write a charter, for the charter to be recommended to people, and the people to vote on it and see what the form of government was. I took that under advisement, and at your direction, I went both inside and outside possibilities. I went to recruiting firms in the state of Washington. Mr. Prothman was the first one to suggest, and Prothman is a state headquartered in Issaquah, a widely known recruiter of local government positions, to bring in an interim county administrator for the position. He gave me a proposal. I thought the proposal was a bit high. We negotiated a little bit. I got it down some, and then asked the HR department to actually go out to other recruitment organizations far and wide to see if they would bid on an interim county administrator position that they would be willing to quote. And nobody responded. So we had the Prothman proposal. I then went to my management team, to my organizational chart, and contemplated, well, if I was going to recommend, if I couldn't get an outside recommendation, then I would at least try to present to you juxtaposing an inside recommendation that someone from the management team would be able to hold that interim position for you for the year or two that would be necessary. I gave you, I've provided you two recommendations, Mark McCauley, the Director of General Services, and Pete Capel, as the Director of Public Works, and I left that to you as my recommendation for the interim county administrator position for whatever that interim might be, either a year or probably no longer than two.
And since then, you also provided us with organizational charts, organizational structures for each one of the departments.
I did.
Which those two gentlemen oversee so that we would better understand the succession associated, the succession that would be necessary to backfill any responsibilities left by the interim county administrator.
Yes, thank you. And that detail is important because both of them, they are my two recommended possibilities is because they both manage the largest departments under your direct jurisdiction. Both General Services and Public Works are, by their nature, the two largest departments under appointed officials that you are directly responsible for. And in that regard, I provided the nuances of both of them. I sat down with both of them and talked to them about, okay, how would it be if you had to do this? And we had really good discussions together, and I gave you the pluses and minuses of both, and for your consideration. Either way, I think you have a good possibilities. I said you have an interesting choice at the end of the interim as well, because you will have then, we're going to probably put Axel Swanson probably to find work, to get him to work a little bit now in the interim. And as the senior policy analyst position will become, I think, a bit busier. Because, as you know, you've agreed with me that to take my place on certain liaison positions, you've agreed with me that Axel would be a good replacement for me there. But you'll have an interesting choice to make at the end of the interim, with the I think the experience that the interim county administrator will have with during the interim period.
And just the reference to Axel, just want to make sure everybody know in the room knows that that was we're making light, because Axel works probably harder than anybody in this room.
Yeah. What you don't know, Commissioner, will hurt you, I guess.
You already got like a dozen chickens, man. You can take some feral cats.
No, I have 3 feral cats, and that's enough.
At least that's a really good illusion.
So thank you very much for the update on kind of all the information and the process, the process that we've gone through to get us to this point. We've had a chance to discuss as a board the options that we have before us and the potential and the challenges. And I think that we are ready to make a decision on an interim county administrator. I think we had some great choices. And we have a strong organization that will be well served by, and would be well served by, either of the finalists that we were presented by Mr. Barron. But I think that we as a board are ready to move forward with appointing Mark McCauley as our interim county administrator. If we have a motion for that, then I would take a motion on that in a second, and then we can discuss.
Yeah. I would like to thank you for the information you brought forward.
Yes, sir.
It was between coming right down to recognizing that we were going to have to use someone from within, and how do we do that with being the least disruptive of the operation that we have here.
Well said.
And I surely make the motion that we bring Mark McCauley in as our interim administrator.
And I second that.
I think it's been moved and seconded to appoint Mark McCauley as the interim county administrator. And we did not create an effective date associated with the motion, but was there, I don't know what the suggestion was on that, and I'll just add it to the motion.
Surely, that would be, my recommendation would be September 11th.
Which is the day after you leave.
Right.
Okay.
And to be subject to the interim being defined as the time when the Board of County Commissioners is assured that there will be a county administrator position in effect after the charter, after the freeholders have done the charter, after the charter has been voted on by the people.
We were hoping for a training period here also.
Yeah. Inevitably, and especially because it's internal, there is the opportunity for that coordination.
And that's one of the things that we looked at.
I'm sorry, was that part of the motion?
That was part of the motion.
Was that part of what you seconded?
So basically, the part that I pulled that I think we're talking about here is effective September 11th.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so that was part of the motion. Anyway, go ahead. Now, discussion. All you.
I think I forgot what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
I have... We went back and with Mr. Proffman,
yes.
Mm-hmm. It was very, really interesting when we learned that he also had some interim choices there. But we recognized the value of this position. And when I talked to Bill on one occasion saying, when the administrators go to a different area, aren't they all different? And he said, they all vary. None of them operate the same. And so I got really cold feet looking on the outside, because they didn't know what Clark County was doing. And somebody inside the county, in one of our management positions, pretty much knew what Clark County was doing, what direction we were going. And I think the transition would be easier. And we know these people. We know the qualifications of these people. While the other person might be a retired administrator and be very well qualified to be an administrator, he doesn't know Clark County. And that's the reason I thought the internal position is great. I I guess we got to approach him and ask him if he wants the position.
That's an excellent point.
He may reject
us. I'm sorry.
Well, both have advised me that they would accept the position if asked.
Oh, great!
I would beg your indulgence to ask Chris Horn to work with me to draw up a contract for them, because, for one thing, I know one of the things they are concerned about is, can I return to my job when I'm done?
Yeah.
And I say, well, that depends on how good you are as intern.
If you hold your job open.
I think, and I think we as a board agree that they have not only a right to know that, but that is something that we want for them, is for them to understand that this is not walking, you know, this is not walking a plank without you know, some assurances of being able to walk back.
Right. Yeah. So. That'll be great, Commissioner. I'll work with Mr. Horn and Mr. McCauley to do that.
You'll bring that back to us?
I will, sir. Yes, I will. Indeed. That'll have to be done in the board meeting.
So other discussion on the motion?
Yes.
Commissioner?
Jim Collins wrote the book Good to Great. And one of the key points he brings out, you know, when it comes to identifying the marks of a very good leader, is what do they do when they leave? And you got one choice is, well, see how it fell apart when I left? See how important I was? And that's ego-driven. And the other one is the humble way, which is what Bill is doing here. Mm-hmm. Bill has hired both of these managers. He's worked with them. They've grown to be very competent, like family here in our organization, very respected. And he's set this organization up to succeed without him. That's one of the smartest, most generous things he could have done. And I think we should recognize that.
Thank you, sir.
Well said.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And also, it not only do we have the established track record in the history of these, but every good organization is built on healthy relationships. And both of these individuals are like family. And they have a very healthy relationship with everyone. So they bring us stability and continuity. And continue that very good culture here. So I fully support Bill's contribution in doing this. I want to make sure we don't just think, well, now the focus is on this new person. We got to remember who put that new person in place.
You're very kind. I don't know if I thought I could keep him here, but
thank you.
We have to put two chairs behind that desk for the next 3 weeks.
That'll be it. Yeah, you betcha.
Excellent. All right. Anything? Any other further discussion on the motion? All right. Hearing none. Then all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Thank you very much, Bill, for your work.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Bill, for all your kind work. All the information that you gave us was really helpful.
Thank you.
And you know, we assume then the next steps will be dealt with by you as far as talking with the management team and talking with Mark and with Pete and with the rest of your management team about next steps moving forward.
Indeed.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. Got the animal shelter follow-up. Commissioner reports. Commissioner Medore?
We're there already.
I know. Look at us move.
Wow. Well, I do have one thing, and that is that the audio recordings for this meeting has been added for some time now to our grid that the community can access. And the work sessions are one of those areas where I felt like I wish I could go back and listen to the audio tape and refer to what it is, the direction and the insight that was given then. So what I'd like to be able to do is to include the audio recordings of our work sessions. Just add that also to that same grid. Here's the date. Here's what it was. Here's the documents that were presented. Here's the audio recording. And especially, I look at what we were talking about today. We had three work sessions today. You missed the last one, but I don't know if you need to have an I-502.
I didn't know that was a work session. I thought that was the work group. Is that a work session?
Yeah.
At 11:45?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
This is good.
Sorry.
Tom covered the base.
Okay. I literally didn't have it on my calendar.
I used your proxy well.
That's bizarre.
So it's just simply we're part of the open transparency, making sure that not only is the community out there, but we can, and our staff, especially if it's the staff members, a lot of times they go to their work sessions. Not every staff member can go to those work sessions. So everybody has access to
I got
that input in that session.
I got it. And,
Enough said.
Clock.
I'm with you. Yeah, it's something. When you, got the votes, yeah, exactly. Or even when you don't got the votes, no one went. You got my vote on this.
You're being time smart.
Yeah, I agree. I think having the audio on there along with the materials from the work sessions is a great addition to the website. You good?
Yeah, quite often.
May I make a comment?
Yes, yes, sir.
Work sessions with audio recordings on the website will require more space. I've asked General Services.
Yeah.
To give us a quote exactly how much that will be, probably for a new server.
So is there something that we could look
on the
at?
Website.
Right.
Is there something we could look at that's not as important and let something fall off?
Well, actually,
and
we're going to need to increase the size.
At what
we're
dollar?
Need adding more information.
At what dollar? We get concerned with public requests.
Right. But the more we put online, the less of those requests we'll get, because the more of those requests will be able to be solved by them just going and getting the information themselves. I totally believe that. It's been shown to work that way.
And it's either going to be the cloud or...
Are we talking hundreds of thousands of dollars to expand it, or what are we talking about?
That's why I've asked for a quote.
Okay.
Actually,
we'll go find out.
I met with Jim Hominick yesterday about that, and there's cloud source out there available and all, so it's very... It's not a problem. Even today, I recorded the three work sessions that we had, so even you can hear them at the third work. And so hopefully we can put these on right away. And the idea is to just make that... All whatever the documents were, whatever is presented, that they always go on and they stay on permanently.
I like it. All right,
my
excellent.
Turn.
Well, what else did you have, Commissioner? You know, on a high note.
I think you
got a high note on that.
I think you used up all your time.
I think I have to. Go ahead.
All right.
We've seen to have a rash of complaints about delays in the permit office, not the quality of work, just the delay of being processed. And Marty's still here, yeah. So my informal request is to ask you to look at opening up more hours, and that might remove some of the congestion.
Yeah, I'm meeting with Chuck Ryder Monday.
Okay. I don't know who that is. But.
He's our permit center manager.
Oh,
well,
okay.
Anna translated some. Did Marty get the list of stuff that you handed to us, like kind of from the conversation that you had, Anna?
Yeah, I think I provided
cool.
Marty.
Because that was one of the ideas on that was, you know, extended hours, get some more people, and change the physical environment down there and remodel it.
Just as a follow up, we have added two more staff.
Good.
Oh, great.
In the permit center.
You probably already took care of what my concern.
When you say that there's a rash of complaints, I always would like to know the specifics, the details, you know, who and what.
I had three.
Specifically.
We'll forward them to you, Marty.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You can get
and then Chuck and I have talked about some different hours in the permit center.
Okay,
maybe
so
either additional full days or even maybe after 5 o'clock. So we're looking at options.
Probably just more during the workday.
By the same token, I do like the feedback that we got back from Jim Muir that you sent to us that talked about how in the city of Vancouver they basically just throw stuff in a box and take it away, and it doesn't take you any time because you're like, hey, great, now I can get out of here. The problem is that you keep having to come back over and over again.
It wasn't complete.
Because it wasn't complete and they didn't get the problems dealt with. So
That's right. It's
a definitely that. It's a fine line.
I think we're on the right track.
Okay. We're just now... I think starting in July, like first or second week in July, we're starting to keep customer service surveys using iPads, and we're going to compile a monthly report on the numbers.
Cool.
Good.
So we'll get that to the board probably starting September.
Measurable outcomes, man. That's great.
And
we'll see you.
And I had move it on.
What, before you move on, Commissioner, did you have something?
Well,
we related to that same
subject. So I just want to tag on to the same thing. The website that talks about the fee waivers. I wonder if we made progress to untangle that.
Yes, and I was hoping Mary would be here.
Okay, I'm glad
we're
to hear.
We're working on developing a very specific and tight page on picking up from the building, or what is it called? What's the little handout that we had?
Right.
Yeah.
Building business and remodeling. That we're picking up from that. We're going to build a page specifically around that. And then the actual homepage to the county, okay, visualize the four buttons on the bottom,
mm-hmm. icons,
or five. On the right-hand side, there's a larger right. topics of interest. That's going to be replaced by a very pronounced button that you can click to once and get to this new page. Great. You'll also be able to get to that new page through the Permit Center or through Community Development or through Good. Commercial.
Cool.
Okay. So there are multiple ways to get to that.
And it'll say Permits, not Community Development?
It'll be picking up from what we've already built on.
Right.
When we say Permits or Jobs, it's too universal. So yes. we want to be tightly focused to what we've already put out there. Build
User-friendly.
Off the momentum that we've uh-huh. built.
Sounds very good. Glad
we'll
to hear
look
it.
Forward to seeing
and
that
you should be
come
seeing
back
that.
With.
And did you update your application
yes.
so that? Oh, good. Thank
yes.
you. So if I click there, we can find it. And
yeah, it goes. We're asking you how many jobs to the nearest half job.
Perfect.
Good.
All right. We'll look forward to getting more on that
and Mary
as you have it for
you
us.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Level. Good stuff.
And I had one more thing. Having gone out and previewed Ripple Creek.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And talking to a couple of other people.
Yep.
And I had a real brief discussion with Marty, and I think we're going to have you come back with an answer, is not to build a bridge, put a culvert in. There's a culvert underneath I-5.
You're talking about a tunnel? Like tunneling under it? Like with a culvert?
Put a culvert there and build a road over the top of it.
Oh, I got what you're saying. Culvert the creek at that point.
Yes.
I see.
No, yeah. span it.
Yeah.
And will we be able to? Will they let us?
That's what we
Max
have.
Like, no.
That's what we have going underneath I-5.
I'm so negative.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was a while ago. The question is, with all the new rules,
so,
will they let us? I don't know.
We still do that today
yeah.
when we go
but
back.
But they're going to look into it to see what the possibilities
yes,
are.
Yes, and cool. the thing is, cost-wise,
that'll be a lot less.
We're talking on 10th Avenue.
A lot
yeah,
less.
Yeah.
We're allowed into the creeks a
in
certain time of year.
Yeah.
And we go in there and disrupt it and put it in there and replace the bottom of the creek into the big, huge culvert. They have like these 10, 15 foot culverts, which is much bigger than what we have.
Yeah.
So it was in the interest of time and the big push that I was being pushed by those people that came in and wanted to develop it. So.
Cool. We're looking into. So you're going to look into that and let us know, Marty?
No, I talked to Pete.
I thought you said Mark.
I'm sorry. Physical bridges.
Yeah. That's all
I was going to say.
I'm done. You got 10 minutes.
Nice. Good work. All right. Axel. And Kelly, just so everybody knows, Kelly's mom was rushed to the hospital, so Kelly's not with us today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so hopefully, certainly we're wishing him all the best. All right. Axel.
I'm pretty good.
Yes, you are.
I don't really have much unless you have questions for individual stuff that I'm working on.
I'll need to catch up with you on 502. I'm really sorry. I literally did not know we have a further work session. I saw a couple of people for it, and I thought, oh, that's that work group that we're putting together or whatever for.
Yeah, I got one.
So, trying to do over.
Really
trying to do
over
already? All right. Go
okay.
ahead.
I should have wrote it down.
Okay. Next.
It'll
come back.
Bill, go ahead.
So the first one I have is work session prioritization. You
yes,
have
sir.
The
oh,
ones on 8-4.
Go ahead, Jim. What's your name? Excuse me.
Go ahead.
My brain thought out loud. You can
go
finish.
Ahead. No, please.
Now we're taking
okay.
time now. Go ahead, Commissioner.
All right. PIPs. We want to move along with that. How are we doing on that?
I've
been able to make it more flexible.
I've asked Mr. Horn for the last 3 weeks for the opinion, so
okay.
I will continue to.
We got him doing other opinions right now. He's probably like, yeah.
He's catching up.
Fair enough.
Okay, you got it.
I'll continue to.
Cool. Excellent. Now, Bill.
The 3.1 is all those that were given to you last week for requests for work sessions. How may I proceed?
Okay, so Arts Commission update. Are we okay having a brief work session?
Can we make it 15 minutes?
We can try. I think we have to schedule it for 30 just to be respectful and then try to make it tighter than that. Because we never do. We don't schedule anything less than 30 minutes. I would feel weird like if, I don't know, it's.
So we schedule for
I'm
half
go
hour.
By what you guys
get
say.
Done early and have 15 minutes.
That's
break.
What I'm. That's what go. I will work toward. I and mean, we will tell them, hey, you know, you have a 15 minute presentation.
As you
that's
wish.
Great. That's
all they
right,
need to
cool.
have.
Yeah. All right. Lands for jobs.
Oh, I got to share something with you, Bill.
Sure.
Maybe you already saw it. Jeff Swanson, our new railroad guy, came mm-hmm. in and shared with me, and I think he shared with you guys.
He will be.
So what Metro did for land for jobs and buildable
yeah, cool.
stuff. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it's awesome.
It is awesome, and we compare that with
like
land
that.
For jobs from the CREDC. A barely nibbled on the end of it, but bringing those together is going to be awesome. So as we go forward with that, and we maybe come schedule that we get that information. And he seemed to really know a lot about it because of his position.
Oh, he was just over there.
He's a champion. He's
doing good.
Yeah, which is awesome. Anyway.
Yeah, so
you want to blend CRDCs with what Metro is doing as well.
Yeah, it shouldn't just
be an idea.
One-way conversation, not a presentation. This is an opportunity to have a discussion and get ideas.
Yeah, how do we get there? I mean, it had everything to 1 through 3 tiers as to the difficulty of each parcel of land that was available for development.
Very good. Cool. You good?
Yeah.
Related to that. I asked them, did you guys actually deliver to us a map, a list of properties? And they said, yeah.
Yeah.
Can we get a copy of that, Bill?
I've never seen it, but I will.
I've never seen it either.
They did. I've got it somewhere in my realm.
I guess it would be helpful to get that first.
Kind of colored.
Mm-hmm.
I get it for you.
Yeah. Yes, we will get that. Fire Marshal Inspection Program.
I'm not sure if we're there yet. I know that we recently got an update from our fire marshal and of the things that we've done and how we've progressed.
Yeah, I read that memo. I wasn't sure whether we needed a whole work session to follow up either.
And it's kind of we're up to date with it right there.
That's what, yeah.
And our work going forward with that is to whether or not we're going to be able to work something out with the backside.
Did you read the memo?
I read everything.
Did you feel like you needed that you need an additional work session for that?
Well, rather than a work session, I think what we need is a specific, more tangible proposal to say, okay, how you want it to work.
Where we were on that is we were getting a big pushback from the general public because they had to charge.
Yeah.
So the other thing, well, do you want to pay 40% out of the general fund? I think you used it up. And so the other thing would come back, and what I tried to do was get the fire district step up and be a part of the program.
So you're working on that?
We've been working on it. We've been making baby steps.
Okay. Marty had something you wanted to add to.
John and I have been out to the business community, for the lack of a better term, in the Chamber, East Vancouver, Hazeldale Business, Salmon Creek Business, and we're giving them information and, you know, here's how the program was, how it is today, and here's what we could do as a different structure going forward. And, you know, John and I have talked about, you know, we really haven't sparked this, like, overwhelming interest.
Right. you can hear it from us.
And, to the point that, you know, this came to us almost 2 years ago or a year and a half ago from an individual in Chulachi Prairie,
mm-hmm.
and we've spent countless hours on do we do something different. And we're going to the larger business community. We're not really getting this zealous response. So
on the new proposal.
John and I are asking about what do we do? Yeah. What do we do moving forward?
And I'm not feeling that, and that's why I say I'm not feeling like it's ready, that there is any real push.
I think that we've made baby steps with the fire district.
Yeah.
And we're discussing right now the training center on the backside of the fairgrounds.
And we talked about the inspection program. We lowered the cost from that one.
In conjunction with the fire marshal's inspection program.
I feel good for now then. Or do we need it? We're okay for right now then.
Work in progress. And I think what he's doing right now, he's charging for the inspections.
So we're not going to schedule a work session right now.
Staying with the old program.
It's work in progress, baby steps, as we're moving. If there becomes, if there is a reason to go to with a proposal that we're like, yeah, we're ready for prime time, and then we get ready and we come back to it.
Well, by default, we just stay with the old program until we come up with something better. And you're kind of heading that up, right?
Yes.
You're meeting with
All right, cool.
Here you go.
All right. Kennel code amendments. Are these ready for prime time?
Yes. They were already scheduled. They're already written up, ready to go.
September 11th is
when
the work session I saw.
That's
if they approve it.
If
they
approve it. Commissioner Medor.
Yeah, I'm not sure it really needs a work session. It's pretty straightforward, but I think what we need is a few more little ideas. For instance, it's just like I think we took out the word soundproof.
Yeah.
But
I didn't feel like I needed a whole new work session, but I've dealt with this issue.
We can go
to
hearing. That's fine.
We can probably make some simple amendments.
Yeah, I gave it to you last week.
Thinking.
Yeah. We've got some specific ideas on how to cover that base.
As long as we stay within the general scope of what has been already heard, then there's no reason to go back. You can go forward with the rest of hearing.
Yeah. So go to hearing.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, cool. See, we're cleaning things up. Affordable.
In a few weeks.
Yeah, that's September 11th. Was
well, that
going
was supposed to be the work session. It'll,
right.
It'll, we'll have to notice.
So it'll be after that.
Okay.
It'll,
yeah. We'll have to notice.
We got a few weeks. Affordable Care Act impact. That's something, Commissioner Mielke, you had asked about, and I think, and I agree, just with the complexity, that would be a good one to get information in a work session.
And we're getting that bit by bit from Kathy, and she's also
well,
coming.
No. Vanessa Gaston, Marnie Story, right. And Kathy are going to give a three-part approach. It affects three departments.
Yeah. Is that okay?
But it's all together.
Yeah, they're all coming together.
That's
one
and,
work session.
And self-insured.
You've got to read your stuff. Self-insured is separate. And that's coming next. I'm coming with you next Monday to get each of you the.
Are you going to
be I get a lot of what. How quick could we become self-insured? And we know the.
January,
impact.
If you want to move that back.
So that's.
Thanks, Marty.
Thank you, Marty.
I mean, we'll get one-on-one on Monday.
Yeah, okay.
Good. Okay. Good. I just want to make sure that the staff knows that this isn't just something they say, oh, we didn't have enough time.
Very much aware.
Really are
they're very much aware.
Putting the front burner.
They listen well.
Good.
Thanks.
All right. Economic Development Action Team update.
What's that? So you created, asked us in a work session
as part of
the team. We've been doing some work. We thought the team thought you should hear what our work is like.
Is that part of Land for Jobs?
Uh-uh.
Is that Kelly Sills and Jeff Swanson involved in that?
No. It's about 15 of us.
Yeah.
Well, I would think
including finance folks and all kinds of.
I would think they would be involved in that. I mean, that's their.
Kelly's involved.
They're primary.
Yeah.
There's 15 staff involved, including Kelly.
They are.
The finance team.
Yeah.
Okay. The planning team.
So you don't think we should combine those?
It is. Oh, the Land for Jobs one. The Land for Jobs one is pretty specific.
Okay.
We just thought you want to hear it. You don't have to.
As long as there are specific proposals
nice
and we want to see the material.
It would be good to do lands for jobs first.
There you go.
Because that can feed into
Great call. Great call. Same day.
Bill, would that stay on the schedule then for November 6th?
Which one?
Will the...
that wasn't. No, this is new.
Oh, this is not the November 6th one.
So we'll make it for the same day. The land for jobs goes before the Economic Development Action Team update on the same day. Cool. All right, Comprehensive Emergency Management Plan update.
Yeah, we have, this is requested by CRESA.
Right.
This is basically to tell you the kinds of things
that are
changing.
This is kind of an annualized thing that that they do. Again, can this be a half an hour, short and sweet?
Yep.
Because this is information only. But
They provided a pretty good written.
They did.
And I've gone through that, and if we understand that, is there significant more than what they've actually put in the report? Because we got it.
Yeah, it's true. That's very true. It's more of a matter of, having that continuing dialogue. Like, if we have questions, or maybe there's something new that pops and that they want to talk through with us, or maybe it's just to maintain the communication more than anything else.
What I'll suggest is, rather than have a workshop or work session for them to do that we pay a visit to CRESA. It's been a while since I've been down there. Yes, but the insight is going to be so much better.
So you're talking about one-on-ones, and then it's either there.
And I also, if you haven't already done so, I would make sure that you grab whatever those contact information, emails, and phone numbers, and make sure they're in your phone, because that's when you're going to need them.
No doubt.
Well, that's all in the plan. All your addresses and everything are in the plan already.
So go back to them, say, hey, we're interested in doing one-on-ones, they're coming down and visiting, and just kind of, we want to maintain the communication connection. If they push back and say, no, we really need the board together on this, then come back to us.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, next group of work session prioritization is new ones that you're going to give us information, and then we'll deal with them next time we meet.
Commissioner Medore has his already. It's a fairground sub-area plan.
Thank you.
Do you need another copy, Commissioner?
Okay, and this is just, we don't have to read this right now, this is for next week.
Right. And this is the mediation, annual mediation update.
Excellent. Pretty color on that.
You have that already.
Oh, right. Oh yes.
Well,
So
we'll read through this week,
get
our questions, and then come back and decide, do we want a work session on this or not?
Correct.
Yeah, on the last one, I already received it. They did a pretty good presentation there. Plus, I've seen them in action more than, it's at least once.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's a great report. I'm up to speed on it. I know what the resources are. I don't need a workshop on it. It's a very good organization.
These gentlemen didn't have a chance to read this.
So, but appreciate you letting us know.
Oh, we asked.
Yeah, exactly.
I have unfair advantage.
Not a problem. So we'll take a look at it over this next week and see if we kind of come to the same conclusions with it and see if we're good.
Very good.
Excellent. Vacancy reviews.
Two. You had two. I passed out two. Yeah. One is from General Services.
I reviewed those. They're both good. Good, good to go, in my opinion.
I reviewed both of them. Good.
Thank you.
Good.
That's all I got.
Look at that. And with that, it's 3 p.m. and we out.
So, you didn't get to go.
I did go. I did go. Nice work, guys.
Everybody else? Milky Way.
Stay away from me.
See, it's all about.
Listen,
it's all about the candy. No comments at all, dude. You disappoint. You disappoint. I was waiting for you to figure out. Like, do you see what kind of candy is in that jar? Take a look.
I got it.